Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and my guest on the program today is Patricia Ciambro. Her book is, to paraphrase, BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vic. Thank you very much.
What was the impetus? What made you write the book?
Well, I have 31 years as a licensed therapist and 41 years as a licensed teacher, and I've worked for the Department of Defense and in the school systems and mental health agencies and private practice, and I just had a lot to say about how people, I think, should hone their coping skills and deal with dysfunctional relationships, and kind of wanted to raise the bar for human behavior. And after all those years, I'm like, I'm going to put it into words. And that's what I did with the help of Ron Seamer editing it.
I'm going to give our listeners a sense of what we're talking about here. I'm going to read the entire first chapter. It's called No One Likes a Whiner. Quote, if you whine, no one will like you. Then you will not have any friends. Then you'll be depressed because no one likes you and you don't have any friends. End of chapter. That's obviously a very important beginning point for you. Why is that so important for you? What is it about whiners that you don't like?
Whining. There is a difference, and I wrote it in the book. I hope I can say this. Bitching versus whining. And with all the clients I've had, and by the way, I want to just add, this is a humorous self-help book. So some of the chapters are real teeny tiny like that, and some are longer and a little deeper. But whiner, I've tried to break through people's denial, and that's why I said it's a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people, because I'm not rewriting the DSM-5 or anything here. I just want people to be cognizant that there is a difference. And usually if people are whining, they're not looking at the problem. They're just whining. So it's something that I tell clients and people, you're whining. You're not really taking a look at what the problem is. You're just whining about it.
I'm just going to hit some of these topics that you cover here and just want you to react. Here's another one. La, 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 la. Magical thinking.
Another big problem with some people, I like to call myself a reality therapist. People live in kind of a magical thinking world, and they're always fantasizing about how things could be or should be, and rather than acting upon it, they just talk about it and fantasize about it. So as I said in the chapter, maybe you just need to take a hard look at your life and raise the bar, or get sober, or get a better job, or get a better mate. And again, that sort of ties into the whining. You don't want to whine and just sort of daydream about how things are. You have to take a look at reality, and what is the situation, and what is it that I can do and can't do.
You're tough. The book is BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people. And it was written by Patricia Ciambro, and she joins us on the program today. Okay, here's another one, and I'm sure this is one that you get reactions from. It's called Real Parenting. Now, every day we see people who are doing parenting. Do you observe and judge?
Oh, I'm always observing and judging. That's why I wrote the book. That happens to be, I was talking to my daughter Zoe last night, and I said, which chapter do you like the best? And she said, really, Real Parenting, which really surprised me. And so parenting is tough. And I, as I said in the chapter, it's sort of bribery and dupery. And when kids are, when they're little, they have little problems. And when they're big, they have big problems. So the bribes get bigger. And I don't want to give the chapter away because I'm hoping people will want to read it. But I always tell parents when I was working with kids, and especially teenagers, you have the five C's as leverage. Credit card, cash, car, computer. I'm looking at this.
Cell phone,
the five C's. And that, especially when they're teenagers, is about the only leverage you have. Because love and reasoning, that would be great if that worked. But I don't know, Vic, do you have teenagers or have you had teenagers?
Not that I'm aware of.
So that's teenagers just by nature are really self-centered. So I do know a couple really families that love and reasoning worked, but usually it doesn't. And I was a teacher for many, many years, and therapists like to call it positive reinforcement, but really it is just bribery and dupery.
Hmm. The book is BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people. Patty, you've got some chapters in here that I think are probably going to push some people's buttons. Some people are going to disagree with your rather strong opinions. You just mentioned teaching, and you've got a chapter in here called Weirdo Homeschoolers. This is pretty fierce stuff here. You're going to have some people out there listening going, I don't know about that one.
Well, I found that chapter, I put the four reasons, and as a licensed teacher, I haven't taught. I've been a therapist for 31 years, but I do sub occasionally, and I did teach for many, many years, and I've shown that to many teachers, and they all agree. There are some really good reasons to have your kids in school. Now, I put the reasons why somebody might, homeschool, but children need to be in all kinds of situations. And in school, they need to learn how to negotiate. And, there's a lot more to school than just academics. In fact, if you look at an academic day, it might only be 3 or 4 hours long. But the rest of that is teaching a child how to negotiate, getting teased without decomposing, making friends, dealing with teachers and kids they don't like to, as I said, I tried to say this humorously, to deal with the bad bosses and bad coworkers they will have someday. So I think there's lots of reasons. And I'm very concerned because I had excellent teachers and I had some not so excellent teachers. But online learning, I think a really great teacher inspires you. And a not-so-great teacher teaches you to negotiate and cope with the world. And online learning, I'm just not sure when kids are taking AP Trig and AP Chemistry, do you really get what you need online?
I don't even understand what AP Trig is.
Oh, I'm
just kidding.
Oh.
My guest is Patricia Chiombro. Her book is Bull Something 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people, BS. Obviously, we can't say this word on public radio, but I think people probably know what it is.
Right. It's a two-syllable word
right. That
I think many, many people use often.
And I almost said it, but I didn't because we would have edited it out even if I did. So, hey, one chapter that really hit me hard, and I really appreciated it and understood it and related to it, was one where I was feeling very validated, because I think people who don't feel a sense of guilt about things are probably not very good people. And your chapter is Guilt is Good. Explain.
I think when I said if you feel guilty about something, you probably are. And to apologize sincerely apologize, be introspective, analyze what you've done, I did say there's a difference between guilt and shame. As a therapist, guilt is, oh, I made a mistake. And I kind of go over this a lot in the book. Analyze your mistakes. Don't make stupid decisions. Look, if something has been messed up, look at what you did. But shame is, I am a mistake. And you never want to feel shame. And many people do. And I one of the things in this book is, it's not real long. It's like 60 pages. There's no fluff or really fillers. Every sentence has a purpose. So I did it very succinctly. Everyone that's read it laughs out loud. And both friends and people I don't know that have read it said, all these things need to be said.
It's a very quick read. And as I was reading it, I read your acknowledgments. I read every word. You can read it really fast and laugh a lot. The book is BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people. Patricia Sciambro wrote it.
Did you laugh, Vic?
I laughed a lot, and it also kind of scared me because there's some stuff in here I didn't know, and I was thinking back in your acknowledgments. You talk about all your friends. You name them. You talk about your friend who you've known for 41 years. I have a friend who I met in the first grade, and we're still buddies, and we don't agree on a lot of stuff, but we've been friends since the first grade, and I have a lot of friends that go way back, and we have a chapter in here called Borderlines Are the Worst. Now, I didn't know anything about borderline personality disorders. Now, I've met people with narcissistic personality disorders, and they were no fun. Tell us about these people.
As I said in that chapter, borderlines make narcissists look good. And oftentimes, people don't know that they're dealing with this. And as I said, I'm not rewriting the DSM-5 or anything. I'm just giving people snippets of what they need to be aware of, because this is for normal and quasi-normal people to look at, what's wrong with that person? And a borderline, just in layman's terms, they're always looking for a target. And they will go to great lengths to destroy their target. And I said, oh, thank goodness for the stupid ones, because you can see them coming. The more insidious ones, you could possibly have been friends or had a partner that it took you years to realize that this person really needs somebody to always destroy. That could be financially, psychologically. I said kind of jokingly, but, they really want to destroy a person. And if there is another book, there is something I feel very strongly about in that jealousy. Because if someone is jealous, and I'm separating this now from borderline because it is a different thing, but in a way it is kind of jealousy, there's nothing you can do about that. Jealous people will try to get you. They'll try to destroy you. They can be very insidious and undermining. And borderlines take a jealous person and just make that, like 100-fold. Oh, before I forget, Vic, can I say, if somebody is looking this book up with the whole 2-syllable word of BS, that they have to put the exclamation point in where the I is, or it won't come up. And when Ron Seymour and I were doing this book, he edited it. We didn't think about that when, people were going to try to look it up.
And that was really silly.
Put the exclamation point where the I is.
That was really silly, and I'm going to replace the I in silly with an exclamation point. How could you know? Okay, so when you're spelling the word that represents BS, put an exclamation point instead of the I. That's your point, and that's Spelling 101 with Patty today. Another one of my favorite chapters, I just love this chapter, is Be Old Fashioned, Send Birthday Cards. Tell us what this is about. I love this.
Okay, I like that one. That's on page 24. And I actually marked a couple things last night. Could I read this one? Because it's super short. And I think it's good. And it'll take 30 seconds. Chapter 13. Be old-fashioned. Send birthday cards. Send birthday cards to people you care about. Not a stupid email, lame, or text, lamer, or Facebook, lamest, unless you are the busiest person on earth. Make an effort to buy a card, address an envelope, send it on time, and keep a birthday book of dates of people's birthdays that you care about. Otherwise, you are probably just lazy and or not motivated. The same goes for thank you notes.
Yeah, there's some people out there that feel like saying happy birthday on Facebook is perfectly acceptable. You're making them feel guilty now, maybe even ashamed.
Okay, so my daughter said last night, she goes, well, Mom, that makes you sound old-fashioned. I'm 61. I'm not old-fashioned. Or as you can tell by reading this book, I'm rather assertive and in your face about this, confront of. But one of the things I said was people that you really care about. I mean, I send a Facebook, you know, if it's somebody from high school, and, you know, I haven't seen them in 20 years, you know, I'll say happy birthday. How are you?
That is the lamest. I'm just kidding.
No. But the part I meant, people you care about. If you have a very close circle of friends, it's very meaningful.
Sure.
It's meaningful to me. I know it's meaningful to other people that you actually made an effort for somebody that you love or care about deeply. And go and pick a funny or a sincere card and look up their address and buy a stamp and put it in the mailbox. I don't know. Vic, do you like to get birthday cards?
Of course. You know what I like the most about that, though, is the part where you said buy a stamp, because that is what is killing the U.S. Postal Service is people are sending all these lame Facebook and email birthday greetings, and they should be out there buying stamps. We need to keep the Postal Service strong. It's a very vital part of our world.
And there are beautiful stamps.
You're right.
You go to this, and we're supporting artists. I really enjoy looking at the stamps and picking out beautiful stamps.
I just got one of the Janis Joplin series, and it comes on this sheet of paper where the back looks like a 45 record sleeve. It is very well designed.
Oh, I bought those. Yes, I love the Janis Joplin ones. But that's what I mean. As I said in my acknowledgments, I named a lot of people, and all of those people I send birthday cards to. Now, I know a lot of people, but all the people I listed in my acknowledgments were meaningful to me. Those are people like my boss from Wright Patterson from 30 years ago, who really segued me from mental health into the drug and alcohol world, which I loved. Everybody that has had an impact in my life in a very meaningful way, I put there. And I go, I think friendships are so important. And I say this a couple times in the book, beware of people that do not have long-lasting relationships.
Those are the borderlines?
Or narcissists, or jealous, or there's a reason. My favorite chapter is Loyalty is the Rock of Gibraltar, because loyalty to friends and family and businesses, it is the Rock of Gibraltar. It's what sustains confidence and love, and disloyalty is treason. And it's what destroys everything when you think about it. So friendships, families, you know, that, and I said the people that deserve to be loved. There are some really not so nice people in this world. And that's where I've written this book to kind of point some of that out. And there's some really good people that get very duped and exploited by very bad people.
Patricia Giambro joins us. Her book is BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people. And this program is a celebration of the art of conversation, and I'm glad to see that that is important to you as well.
Thank you.
You even have a chapter called The Art of Conversation.
I do have that, and as I said before, Ron Seymour helped me edit it, that, and he really, that's one of his pet peeves, too, that people, especially the younger generation, we seem to have lost the art of conversation, and they'd rather be texting, and they sort of need to stay frenetically busy with their thumbs, gaming, texting. It's like we've induced a new tick into people, and teacher friends of mine have said, you know, we've kind of induced ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, into people that haven't had it because they have to stay frenetically busy. And as I said, a conversation with a person can be joyous, frustrating, angering, engaging. I go on and on. And that hones, again, one of the purposes of this book is to hone people's human skills, their coping skills. Mm-hmm. Some people just get frustrated in a conversation and walk away. And then we can probably tie that into some kind of personality disorder. So this little book is just to make people behave better, I think. That was my goal. My daughter likes to call these Patty's platitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things I believe in, and I thought, well, I'm licensed, I can say it, and I have a wonderful friend like Ron Seymour, who's an editor, and if it wasn't for him, this probably would have never come to fruition. And then one thing led to another, and it was on Amazon like a week ago, and I'm like, oh, wow. What I'm most happy about is the Centerville Libraries just cataloged it in their library. And I'm like, oh, it can be in the library. That thrilled me.
That's Washington Township, Centerville?
Yes.
I love those libraries. I love all libraries, but I particularly love those. I gave a talk there recently, and they are great folks out there.
Oh, aren't they wonderful people?
They really are.
Oh, I would shout out. Thank you, Centerville Library.
Yes. You have another chapter in here. The thing I like about the way this book is set up, and I'm guessing Ron Seymour probably has something to do with this, is the fact that you're giving very straightforward, very strong opinions, yet there's a sense of warmth about a lot of this. And in one of them, this is a classic example of what I'm saying. It's called No Man is an Island. Quote, people who live alone tend to get weird. By weird, I mean they forget or want to forget how to interact or converse with other humans. They'd rather talk to their cats, dogs, or fish. They don't talk back. And people who live in the boonies alone get even weirder, e.g. the Unabomber. And a loner really doesn't like feedback from others either, because people might tell him that he is weird or an blank. So if you live alone, have lots of crazy dinner parties and house guests, and go out and socialize. Telephone friends just to let them know you're thinking of them. Invite people over for coffee or a simple meal, or meet them somewhere for a beer. And occasionally look at your own lifestyle. If you discover that you have accrued more animals or guns than might be considered normal, look out. That's a really good sign that you might be acting crazy. Prove that you're sane and healthy by changing that goofy behavior. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
It's warm, yet it's serious.
And, well, Ron is as assertive as I am. And because I have been in the, I've worked with a lot of addicts for 31 years, you have to be gently confrontive, or you're never going to break through anyone's denial. And, as you know, Ron is a very warm person, and I am a very warm person. But when people are not nice, I can really kind of go for the juggler. Because the next book, if I write one, my first chapter is Ethics Patrol. And I think we need to call people on their bad behavior. unless they're, you know, like a drug dealer or your boss, so then you might want to do it anonymously. But so you don't get killed or fired. But I do, and I think want to point out that I did one chapter on lessons I learned from my father. And as I said in the dedication, my father, Tony Ciambro, will all and inspire me until the day I die. He was a victim of a violent crime and was in a wheelchair for almost 35 years and lived 2 weeks to short of being 90. He never lost his sense of humor. He never lost his dignity or his integrity, was always engaging. But, I mean, if you cross the line, Katie bar the door. But he was the most loving. That's why if I ever feel whiny or something, I think of my dad, and I'm like, I have nothing to complain about.
That's your chapter, Forgiveness is Overrated. That is a very personal chapter, and we'll leave that to readers to discover some of these things that you relate in that. Also, Lessons I Learned from My Father, the following chapter. You have a chapter in here that I think a lot of our listeners will appreciate, and it's called Meditation is the Bomb.
Yes. Do you want me to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we have about a minute to go here, so if you can do it really, really fast, meditate really, really fast. Can you do that?
I was raised Catholic. I go to meditation with a lot of my Indian friends who we practice something called Raj Yoga. And so I guess I'm a cafeteria Catholic, which means I'm not, you know, don't buy all the dogma. And I like meditation because it's a real form of spirituality. And I do want to say that I said in one of the chapters, people should take their meds. If they're diagnosed and need to take their meds, a psychiatrist once said only healthy people take their meds and go to therapy. And I made a little formula in the book, meds plus therapy plus meditation equals stability. I don't want people to feel stigmatized that going to therapy or taking meds as prescribed is a bad thing. The bad thing is not doing it. But meditation, for me, I'm kind of a little bit hyperactive, if you ask my friends. And the fact that I can sit there for 3 hours at my friend Shupra's house and meditate really makes me feel very connected and grounded. And I miss it if I don't do it. And I like meditation better than going to church. That's about all I could say is that, you know, I expound on that, why meditation is a good thing in that chapter.
Well, that's perfect. Well, we're out of time. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Vic.
You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. The book is BS 101, a self-help book for normal and quasi-normal people, written by Patricia Ciambro. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.